I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord. Have your way here tonight, Lord. And so I lift my hands. Let's just bow our heads together. I said, play softly. Why don't you just raise your hands back up to the Lord as you've been doing as we sing this song and just express your need to Him. Not to a man, not to the person next to you, but He's here. He's here to meet all your needs. It just takes you to ask. He said He knows what you have need of before you even ask Him. But He desires you to come and to fellowship with Him. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come humbly, Lord, and so mindful, Lord Jesus, that as your prophet would say, what care we would take if we had a vial of the literal blood of Jesus Christ in our possession. How we would so cherish that and care for it, Lord. But Father, sitting here tonight, Lord, is the purchase of that blood. Lord Jesus, the very purpose of it being spilt, Lord, was to purchase us, Lord, was to buy us, Lord, was to wipe off the sin debt that we owed. And Lord Jesus, this is more precious, Father, for this is the reason, Lord. So Father, we sit here, Lord, recognizing how precious this moment is, that Lord, you could move in our midst again, that you could set souls free, Lord, that you could just deliver us, Lord, from the things that we struggle with. That you could give us courage, Lord, to fight another day, Lord. Father, that you could lift up those that are downtrodden. Lord Jesus, those that, Lord, struggle, Lord, in their mind. Father, you're here to give courage and strength, Lord. Those who struggle in their body, Lord. Father, you are still the God that heals all of our sicknesses and diseases. And those, Father, who struggle in their spirit, Lord, who can't seem to grasp the truth. Lord, you know how to make it real. You know, Father, how to come to where we're at, Lord. You said you wouldn't lose one, Lord. And Father, they're in your hand. You've engraven us on the palms of your hands, Father. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, to be able to minister your word. We commit it into your hands, Lord. May you give the increase now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's take our Bibles together if you would. I want to greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be back in His house, isn't it? Amen. I don't know about you, but I never get old of being in the house of God. I never get tired of it. There's just something about coming into His presence. It just lets everything else slip away. Just focus on Him tonight. Amen. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Amen. I so appreciate your attentiveness this morning and bearing with me in my long-windedness. And we're looking forward to what God has for us tonight. I'll try and be short, but I'm not a short person. I am tall, so it takes a while to come up and come out. So that's all right. But I so appreciate, brother, the special of today. I don't know who requested you to sing that again, but it wasn't me, but I should have. It just was such a confirmation of the service that where we're going tonight. And I really didn't know where we were going until this afternoon. I got in the room and was really waiting on the Lord. And we're going to preach this morning or this evening on delivered and complete. Amen. Delivered and complete. And let's start here in Colossians chapter 1, and you can have your seats. Verse 12 to 14 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a lot in a verse. God has made you meet. He made you worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How many want to say thank you for the blood applied? Amen. Thank you, Lord, that it wasn't just there on a cross, but it became applied and personal to me. Amen. God bless you. You may have the comfort of your seats if you'd like. I want to just take your Bibles, if you would. We'll just immediately turn over to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we'll just take kind of a context from here and see where the Lord will go with it. But in 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 13 to 19, we'll write and say, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his faith and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." It's not very often you'll find in the scripture that a king comes down and begins to weep over a prophet. But this king had respects to the word of God. He had respects to the prophet of God, and he come down and begin to weep over him. And Elisha said unto him, "Take bow and arrows." And he took him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said upon the window, and he opened the window eastward, and he opened it. And Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, thou shalt smite the Syrians in Ephek till thou have consumed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." My. Here's a man that had respects to the word and to the Lord, but in all of it, Elisha's saying, "Why didn't you keep going? I was giving you an opportunity to see what you would do. How much faith do you have? I was giving you an opportunity to express yourself to the Lord. And here you've expressed yourself so far, but you stop short." Amen. And we know when we read in Colossians, there's a work that he has done, that God has done for us, that he has made us worthy. The blood of Jesus Christ has made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Let me say it this way. There's nothing we had to do with that. He called us, he chose us, he justified us, he's already glorified us. God is absolutely fantastic in the work that he has done. He's left nothing undone, but in all of it he says, "But I still am looking for something. I'm looking for a response. I'm looking for someone who's willing to not just have faith and willing to not just recognize that they are saved, that they are redeemed, but someone that is willing to put their faith into action." Amen. That's willing to do something with the opportunity that I've given them. Amen. Who's willing to not just recognize that, "Well, I thank God for what he brought me out of," but has he completely and totally delivered you and brought you to a place of completion or perfection? Amen. And God's desiring to do that, and he's given us what we have need of in the word of the hour that we have. He's given us what we have need of to come to perfection. Amen. Not perfection as the world looks at perfection, but rather perfect in Christ, or to be complete in Christ. Amen. And we look for that more than ever. That's why we feed on the word constantly. We feed on it daily. We desire the word to be a reality in us and to us and through us, that we want God to be our all in all. Amen. We need more and more and more. You just sang the song. We need more of Jesus. Amen. That's nothing that's just shocking or new to anyone sitting here. But in all of it, he's saying, "But what will you do with it?" Amen. Or is it just going to be so I can say that I'm a Christian, I believe the message, I go to this church, and I can put it all together? As I was fellowshipping with a man the other day, and we were talking on how different ones, they've got so much knowledge of the word, and how they can put the Godhead together in a way that would make my head spin, and how they would be able to understand who Jesus is and who this one is. But I said, but the real revelation of the Godhead is when you can see yourself in there. Amen. That's wonderful to have the knowledge, and the knowledge of it is a part of the stature of a perfect man, but it has to become real to you. Amen. Beyond just wisdom and beyond just knowledge, because if I can talk you into it, someone else can talk you out of it. Amen. But if you begin to look at the scripture and you see, Mama, that's me. Amen. As we know, he talked, Brother Branham would tell the story of the little boy that never seen a mirror, but one day he run up and seen the mirror there, and he began to look and began to look forward and backwards, and everything he did, the little boy in the mirror did. Why? Because he realized, Mom, that's me in the mirror. Amen. And we need to be able to look into the Word of God and realize, and maybe it isn't just so clear at first as we're looking through a glass darkly because we haven't become what the Word says we are. But as we come to a place of completion, we begin to recognize what the Word says I am. I'm really that. Amen. Amen. He's really changing me and molding me and shaping me into the image of Christ. Amen. Day by day. And I'll say it this way, trial by trial. Amen. Because even our Lord Jesus Christ was perfected, the scriptures would say, or completed by the things that he suffered. Amen. He wasn't that he just came to earth and, well, of course Jesus overcame because he was born a perfect birth and of course he was God in flesh, so therefore, of course he could overcome the enemy, but rather he had to suffer things in order to come to a place of perfection so that he could recognize and sympathize and empathize with you and I as human beings, to recognize that everything that we are tempted with and everything that we suffer with, he's been through. Amen. He knows what it is to be lonely. He knows what it is, as Brother Ben would say, to sit on a rock groan with a headache. He knows what it is to go through sickness and flu and all of these things, but he was not taken up by it. He did not die by it. Satan was not able to get him to curse God or to do anything or to even cause him to sin because he was perfect. Amen. That he was still the sinless Son of God, but he had to suffer things in order to show that he could overcome. And that he did overcome. Amen. And the Lord needs to put us through things. Amen. The Lord allows us to go through things in order for us to come to a place of perfection. In order for us to come to a place where our character could be tested and tried. Amen. Because we know that Brother Branham would talk about it and say that power without character is demonic. It's satanic. It's not fit to rule. There's a lot of that going on where people got power, but they got no character to handle it in this day and age. But God is looking to mold character first in order to give you the power to unlock the power that you have need of to rule and reign with Christ. Amen. But rather, he first is looking at, we need to put you through something to allow you to come to a place where you can handle it. Amen. Where you'll know how to make the right decision. Where you'll know how to do the right thing. Amen. We want to look at this and we want to understand that God is in control. God knows exactly what he's doing. God knows exactly how to handle it. Don't worry about it. God knows exactly how to take care of you. How to bring you exactly to the place he needs you to be. Where he can reveal himself to you. Amen. Amen. Because we need to look at and understand he's trying to get you to a place where you'll be willing to take the word that he's given you and walk with it. You'll be able to take it and overcome with it. You'll be able to take that same word, be able to do all that he requires you to do. Hallelujah. Let's just have a word of prayer with our brother here. That'd be all right. Amen. Amen. Don't worry now. Let's just carry on with the word. You with me? God's in control. God knows what he's doing. He's got brothers in a church for this reason. Brother Branham says, just like you, if you're a Christian, God don't make any halfway Christians. God makes complete Christians. God don't make any halfway preachers, but the preachers can be halfway. God makes his children Christians, but sometimes they're halfway Christians. Not by God's doing, by our doing. That we could stop and only going to go halfway, but God doesn't do that. It's not God's intentions for them to be that way. It's their own ways got mixed up with the plan of God for their life. You see, and that's what makes them what they are. God don't want to be halfway Christians or halfway preachers compromising on either side. He wants them to completely stand in the breach. Amen. He wants Christians that will completely stand in the breach. Now Moses, God had made him a complete prophet for a complete deliverance. Amen. God didn't leave it up to happen chance. God didn't go and meet Moses and you say, well, I think he's good enough now, or I think he's learned enough, and I think he's... No, God made sure. God said, no, I'm going to go with you. Don't worry about it, Moses. I'm not worried about how much you can talk, how much you can have ability, and how much you can deliver the people. Moses, you already tried that and it failed. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you that I'm going to do it with a mighty hand. He made sure Moses was a complete prophet. How did God do it? By completion. He made sure that Moses was completely reliant upon him. Hallelujah. Because that's what a complete Christian is. That's what a real Christian is. One that can stand completely in the gap is one that recognizes you are completely reliant upon Christ. Amen. That my ability and my ways, and that's what makes a halfway Christian, is when I give this part to God, but I've got this part under my control. Amen. I can do so much myself. And I remember, as Brother Ed said one time, and Brother Ed Hammermeister, my pastor, and I bring you greetings from him, by the way. I don't think I said that this morning. He said, greet the people. So God bless you, from Brother Ed. But he said one time, he just said, you know, that's the greatest insult you can give God. Someone that knows everything, knows what tomorrow holds, and you look him in the face and say, I got this. He knows what's going to happen. I don't know. You don't know, but he knows. Amen. And the greatest compliment we can serve him is say, Lord, I'm completely in your hands. Amen. I completely trust you. I'm completely full of faith in your word and what you desire to say, what you desire to do in my life. I am at your command. Amen. God made Moses a complete prophet for a complete deliverance, and Moses was completely surrendered into the hands of God. That's the reason that made him what he was. He was so complete in God till God could trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's where we left off this morning. It says, I wonder this morning as Christians, if you are yielded to your own will and yielding to once or, and you, if we have yielded to our own will and yielded ourselves so completely to God till God can trust us to the place that he has put us. I wonder this morning, he says, or myself, if I could be so yielded to God till God could trust me. In other words, this wasn't something to take flippantly. This is sincere, that the prophet of God would stop and say, I wonder in myself, have I really been yielded so much to God that he could trust me with what he's given me to accomplish? Amen. God didn't give you to accomplish bringing the message of the hour. He's already done that. He had a prophet to do that. But he gave you your position in the body. Amen. To be a lived voice, to live for him in order to be a testimony for Christ. That you have a part to play and you have something to do. And that's what God is bringing you up for. I want to ask you this evening, are you in such a place that you can say, I know God can trust me where I'm at. He's got me exactly where he wants me. So that way when he wants me to move, I can move. He says, could he trust the pastor? Could he trust our deacon board? Could he trust our trustee board? Or our members of the church? He says, we all have a place. We all have a duty. We all have a place. We all have a duty. But God's looking for you. See, what are you going to do with it? I've given you the word. I've given you the blood. I have washed you clean. Now what are you going to do with it? Let's go to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 2 this time, if you would. We'll just labor a little bit in the scripture here, if that'd be all right. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. He would say, for I would that you knew the great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. So he's talking about a city. No, he's talking about us too. Because we live in an age called Laodicea. And he says, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So let me ask you, how many of you have seen Paul's face in the flesh? None of you? Really? Yeah, me neither. So he says, this is for you. He says, that your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order. Hallelujah. I think Brother Branham could say that. Though I am absent with you from the flesh, but I'm with you in spirit, and I rejoice in your order. That the message that God sent me, you're still here living and believing and living a holy life with it. He says, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, both rooted and built up in him. Amen. And established in the faith. In other words, it wasn't always the beautiful building you see. There had to be a root take hold. There had to be something go down deep, something to stabilize your life. There had to be a period of stabilization before he could build on you something that others could see. We're all in a different stage in our walk with God. So don't be confused when somebody else doesn't see something the way you see it. When somebody else doesn't have the depth of revelation. It doesn't make them lost. It doesn't make them a sinner. It just means perhaps God's showing you something he hasn't got them to yet. Amen. But rejoice in the fact that God's got you there and press on. Amen. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Amen. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, for ye have been taught, abounding wherein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Well, that would never happen. Oh, it does. That someone would spoil you with their big words, with their philosophy, with how they think it ought to be. Stay with the word you've been received from Paul. And what did they say when Brother Branham went to the other side? He said, will I be judged according to the word I preached as I preached what Paul preached? They said, we're resting on that. I just preached what the word of God said. And they said, we got faith and confidence in that. That you didn't take something else. Stay with the word. He says, or after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. For you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. In other words, you don't need this plus. You don't need the word of God plus philosophy. You don't need the word of God plus psychology. You don't need the word of God plus we should probably take it easy a little bit on our sisters because they've really had it hard. They got to wear skirts and dresses and we really ought to let the bars down, you know, because it really, it's this plus. No, he says, you stay with this. Don't let someone deceive you and come at you with something else and say, well, you know, that was for another day. No, we need the old fashioned gospel. Listen, it was good enough for you. It's good enough for your children. It'll be good enough for their children if the Lord would tarry. Amen. It'll continue to do what it's required to do. Amen. Because the blood has never lost its power. It will never lose its power. It only gets stronger. Amen. Don't let them come with some of the rudiments of the world that are not after Christ, but in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead body. You are complete in him. He says, for whom, in whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Oh my, who hath raised him from the dead, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation. Operation is something is animated. Something is in operation. Something is happening. It's not a stagnant life.
It's not something that's just, well, I received it, so therefore I'm good enough. But it's something that begins to operate within you and change you and make you, put you into service. Amen. That Brother Branham would talk about a glass that was there in the dirt and in the muck, and how that it was still a glass even though it was in the dirt. But he says the master began to justify the glass by picking it up and recognizing this doesn't belong in the dirt. That's justification. But in all of it, then he says he takes it and he cleans it out. Why? That's sanctification. He doesn't just clean the outside, he cleans the inside. Amen. But in all of that, he then takes it, cleans it, sets it aside for service. That's what sanctification is, but that's not the end result. It needs to be put into service. It needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you don't fill a glass of water and set it up on the shelf and say, maybe one day I'll drink that. No, you fill it up with water when you need the water. Amen. You fill it up for a purpose in order to be fit for the master's use. Amen. And all of humanity, Brother Branham would say, was all taken and formed from one lump of clay. It wasn't a bunch of different lumps. In other words, you are no different from me. No matter what color your skin is, no matter what language you speak, no matter what it is, we're all formed from the same lump of clay. And from that same lump of clay, God formed vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Amen. God was the one who's able to do the choosing, because he knew who would receive and who could receive the word for their day. Amen. That was what predestination was. It wasn't that God saying you're in and you're out, but rather God was saying, listen, I know who can. I know who's willing to, because by his foreknowledge, he was able to predestinate you to the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen. And you being dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, verse 13 says, hath quickened together with him, having forgiveness from all trespasses. Amen. Brother Paul uses this word circumcision. Why? Because that's what the Holy Ghost does to you. Amen. It cuts off all the unnecessary parts. All the parts that God didn't have originally in his mind, it just cuts it off. And you know what? Yes, it hurts. Any molding isn't fun. Any chastising is not fun for the season. It's hard. You go through it. It's suffering. It's something that is hard to go through, and it hurts sometimes. And sometimes it takes a long time to recover from it. But God is doing it for a purpose, because that wasn't necessary. He says that those things, you were dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but he's quickened it together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Hallelujah. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Hallelujah. All the things that were against you receiving eternal life. He said, I've taken all that and I've put it, I've nailed it on the cross with me. It's already taken care of 2,000 years ago. Amen. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, not even when you received him as your personal savior. But 2,000 years ago, he already took care of your healing. He already took care of your peace. He already took care of your iniquity. He already took care of your trespasses. But it takes you to come to a recognition of what he's already done. Hallelujah. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. What's he saying? He said, listen, principalities and powers that come, they've gone. They've been raised up, they've gone down. God raises up kings, God tears down kings. But one thing's remained. You know, in Daniel's vision, or not Daniel's vision, the king's dream, and Daniel saw the dream about how there was the four kingdoms, the head of gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and the partly mixed and partly strong and partly weak, and the feet down into iron and clay that they don't mix together. And we could see all of these different things and the empires that came in the world, the Babylonian and the Medo-Persian and the Grecian and the Roman. And now we come through papal Rome that's partly strong and partly weak, and how they don't mix, and how we could talk about the visions, and how we talk about Brother Branham recognized and began to realize that we had Eisenhower meant iron and Khrushchev meant clay, and he took his shoe off and beat it on the UN, and how all these things happened. And we could look at it as something so wonderful. But in all of that, if we stay focused on the kingdoms of the world, you're going to miss the most wonderful part of it all. That in that same dream, there was a rock that was hewn out without human hands. There was something that was hewn out, and it come down and it smashed to pieces all of the kingdoms of the world, made them into fine dust. And then the Bible actually says, if you go read it in the book of Daniel, it says, and in the days of these kings, Not after these kings were all gone, but in the days that these kings were all still on the earth, God began to raise up a kingdom that would not be diminished, that would never be destroyed. A mountain that began to raise out of a rock hewn out with our hands. What was it? The kingdom of God, the government of God that started with Christ. That started there on a cross, that started there with a life that was perfectly lived, the lamb, the sacrifice that was made, down through 2,000 years, raising up, increasing, getting greater and greater till we live now in such a day where the fullness of the manifestation of the sons of God, the fullness of the revelation of who you and I really are, has been made known. He said, all that I am, all the mystery of God has been revealed. But what are you going to do with it? He says, if you want to match something, match your experience against Paul's. Hey, man, that's what we need today. He says, it's a matching time. We're still living in a matching time. He says, but match it with Paul's faith in the Bible. That's our example. That's right. A real matching time. Don't try and match your neighbor. Match some of the saints in the Bible. Go back in there and say, Lord, does my experience line up? Does my faith line up? If you're a saint, he says, act like a saint. Hallelujah. If you're a saint, if that's your testimony, I've been born again, then act like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. Pray like a saint. Believe like a saint. He says, shout like a saint. Be like a saint. Live like a saint. Die like a saint. Go to heaven like a saint. He says, if you're really a saint, this is how you are. Amen. He says it's separating time. He says this borderline believing, this halfway lukewarm. Do you know the Bible said it would be this way in the Laodicean church age? Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said you'd be that way. It'd make God sick to his stomach. He'd spew you out. The Laodicean church has just enough religion to make you sick. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that a few times. We got enough people, they got just enough religion to make you shake your head. And go, I don't want to be around this anymore. But I thank God that there's a people on the earth today that are on fire for the Lord. Amen. Are you one of them that want to say, yes, I don't got enough religion to just be, make God sick, but I've got enough religion to make sure that I'm not holding my religion. My religion is holding me. Hallelujah. He'd say that he'd spew you out of his mouth. He said, what we're still longing for the, he says, if you're still longing for the things of the world, and say, oh, I better not do that, but I want to. He says, something's wrong. He says, if I wanted to do it, I'd just go do it. He says, but I know tonight there's a good old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Ghost that makes you love God so well till you don't care to do it anymore. Amen. That's what we need is more of the good old-fashioned filling of the Holy Ghost. Not just one filling, but a constant, continual refilling of the Holy Ghost. A fresh refilling every day, an experience with God. I love that kind of a Christian. One that's not looking back and saying, I know what God did for me 20 years ago. But you look at them today and they're stuck on drugs and they're all in all kinds of trouble trying to push through it. But I know God spoke to me 15 years ago. But I know God spoke to me. What about today? What about a real Christian that to walk today and have a fresh experience with God and know what it is to get on their knees, that God knows where to find them and trust them where they're at. Oh my, we don't need a modernization of the church. I trust you're with me on this. Amen. I know your pastor is. We don't need a modernization of the church. We don't need someone to come in and how we got to fix the music and how we got to have the lights and how we got to have all of this and that to make the people more interested, to get the young people more interested. No, get the power of God in the church. That'll keep the young people. Amen. That'll interest you when you get God moving in your life and changing you from mortal to immortality. It'll do something for you better than any purple, yellow, blue, or green lights and smoke show will ever do. Hallelujah. That's what we need is God moving in our midst more today than ever before. Let me tell you, church, don't ever try and slack off and say, well, we don't need Sunday night services anymore. We don't need this service. We don't need that service. No, sir. Satan does not take a day off. It gets 10 times harder every single generation. We ought to pray more for our children than we've ever prayed before. We ought to be on our knees before God when they go out. We don't want to send them out to young people's and just say, well, you go ahead, Johnny, and hopefully God will do something for you. When you send your children out, get on your knees and pray for them. Pray that God will move on their hearts at the youth service. Pray that God will move on their hearts when they're out there with their friends and they're out there playing volleyball or basketball or football or whatever it is, that somehow God would strike them in the moments when they're just having a good time with their buddies. God's more than able to move in that kind of a way. God can move on a football field just the same way he can move in a church service. It just takes you to get talking about him. Hallelujah. Oh my. It isn't good enough. We need to stay with the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was good enough to deliver your parents. It was good enough to deliver you. It's good enough to deliver your children. Hallelujah. We need to be humble enough then to gain the respect of God. Just like this young king that came to the prophet, God had respects to him. So Brother Branham says, he says, see, he went down there and he seen him and he respected the prophet. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horses. In other words, he said, my father, you're worth more than all the chariots of Israel and all the horsemen thereof. What a thing for a king to say. You, the prophet of the hour, you are worth more than all of my armies. I would rather have you. Lord, don't take this man. Something moved the heart of God in this. He says how true it was, how true it is. And I say it tonight, though Elijah was considered a holy roller, a fanatic by the modern world, yet his presence in that nation was worth more than all the horses and chariots they had. He says, and I'll say tonight that a good old-fashioned gospel Holy Ghost tent meeting does more to protect us from all the atomic bombs that we could create in a million years. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, America's almost got their Iron Dome defense. We're setting it all up. They'll never be able to touch us. But a real Holy Ghost-filled believer. Because not one bomb will fall. Well, the bride is on this world. Hallelujah. So you being here is more protection than any missile system they can put together. No matter how good it is, a Holy Ghost revival is better than that. He says, you say, oh, hey, Holy Roller, you know my pastors told me about you. He says, when Joash come down there, he didn't say that to Elisha and try and make fun of him, but he walked down there and he wept over him because he come and approached it reverently and God had respects to him. What a place to stand. What an honor. What a place, position of power to stand in where God has respects. Oh my. This is what happened then. He said, God said, now, Elisha, rise up. Here's a man that's dying, but God took over, as we had said this morning. Took completely over him. So you get up. Elisha rose up, and they was just ready in their backslidden condition to be besieged by another country, the Syrians. But they were coming to get them. But Elisha knew that. But because one man humbled himself and came down before God and said, oh, my father, how we need you. God respected it. And he respected Elijah. And God respected him. And if you'll respect God's Bible and God's Holy Spirit, he will respect you. Oh my. Don't try to contradict it or say it says so. Just believe it. That's all. Oh, saints of God, no matter what comes against this church, no matter what comes against our youth, no matter what comes against you and your family, it takes one person to humble themselves, to recognize, I can't do this on my own, and the presence of God in my home is greater than every rule that I can put in place, is greater than every curfew I can put in place, is greater than my best intentions. If I could have the presence of God in my home and have respects to that, to play the voice of the prophet, to read the Bible, to set up the family altar, to have a time of devotions with your children, that is more powerful. Hallelujah. Than every psychology book you could ever put and read to your children. Than every philosophy book and every tradition of man and every way of the world to try. And this is how you ought to raise your kids. But you get the presence of God in your home. It will take care of all of that. Amen. It will be more powerful if you will just honor the word of God and have respects to the word and the spirit of God. Have respects to the message and to God's servant. God will have respects to you. Oh my. As it says in Mark chapter 11, it said, and Jesus answered, he saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And oftentimes we stop the scripture there, but I like to read it a little farther. It says, therefore I say unto you that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you shall have them. Amen. Hallelujah. Believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, then forgive. Be sincere. Forgive your enemy. Forgive your brother. Forgive anyone that has aught against you. It says, if they have aught against any, it says, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And if you do not forgive, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a lack of respect. Amen. He will not respect you if you are not willing to come reverently to him with a heart full of forgiveness, able to have forgive those that you have aught against. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Faith is based in it. Faith is based in forgiveness. That you can't have faith for your need if you are holding something against somebody else. And you might look at me tonight and say, well, Brother Andrew, you don't know what they did to me. Amen. It doesn't matter. No, one bit does it matter what they did to you, because you have the ability. You have the ability to bring God on the scene in that person's life and in your life by simply forgiving them for whatever they did, whether they know they did it or not. Amen. And just letting it go and saying, God, you wipe it off. Your blood was enough for me. It's enough for them. Amen. Whether or not they ever ask for forgiveness is not my business. But my business is I want God to move in my life, in my home, in my family, in my church. So I'm going to do everything I can. If that means I need to forgive somebody, I'm going to do it right now. I don't want to hinder your healing. I don't want to hinder our brother's healing. I don't want to hinder somebody else because I'm holding something against somebody else. Oh Lord, help us to be sincere and to have respect and reverence to the word of God, to recognize, Lord, I don't want to hinder your movement. Don't worry about it. I know there's enough. We got it in Edmonton and you got it in Tucson. That this one says this about that church and that church says that about that church and this church says, and we got this pastor's done that and that one's done that. Let it go. Just let it go. Forgive them whether they did it or whether they didn't do it. It's okay. 99.999% of gossip is lies. And the other 0.0001% is also lies. It's just a bunch of lies. Trying to get you to not be able to receive what God already has for you. Why? What was it? Somebody needs to take the arrow of God's deliverance and begin to strike it on Calvary, the prophet says. Begins to strike Calvary with it and recognize, I have a need in my life tonight. You sang the song and it was testified, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you. What's the way that I can do? Take the arrow of God's deliverance. Don't stop with just this or just that. Once, twice, three times. Keep going. Keep striking until you have a complete and total deliverance. Amen. God has given you the ability to live a 100% overcoming life. But what do we do with it? We stop short. Oh, brother, sister, you might have been suffering a long time with anxiety, with depression, with all kinds of evil spirits that come against you. And you might have lived a few days and a few months of overcoming and then boom, back down again. And then you come back up again and boom, back down again. You say, Lord, will it ever be over? I can tell you tonight, keep striking Calvary. Keep striking Calvary. One day that faith will strike where you'll know it's finished. It's over. I can tell you that. I'll just say it from a personal testimony. I struggled my entire life from being 12 years old all the way up till I was almost 30 with lust and struggled and struggled and couldn't overcome it and couldn't. And I'd go weeks and months with no issues and then just flat on my face and going, God, What happened? But I kept going back to the Lord and saying, but Lord, I still believe. I still believe your word is yea and amen. I still believe that you are the deliverer of all of my sicknesses and all of my diseases, even the mental ones that have crushed me for so many years. And I can tell you that one day it happened in the most odd way, that I was just sitting there in the bathroom one day and in a shower, and finally the presence of God come down. In that moment, I said, Lord, I let it go.
Amen.
I'm done trying myself. Just take it. And it was gone in an instant. He's more than able. He says, that's the church tonight. The church is still striking short. It struck short of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It struck short of deliverance from sin. It struck short to say, I belong to the church, brother. You got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It takes that old temper out of you. Yeah. You don't need to stop and say, Lord, I guess I got the Holy Ghost and the temper too. It can take it right out of you. Amen. You can live free from that old thing. It doesn't have to control your life any longer. It can make you quit your smoking, your drinking, your lying, your stealing, your everything. It'll shape you up to be a real Christian. God don't make halfway Christians. We make halfway Christians. Amen. He says, brother, he says, when you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it separates you. It delivers you from the things of the world. It makes you love God. It makes you go to church. It makes you worship Him. It makes you tell your neighbor about it. It makes you live above sin. Hallelujah. You say, all at once, Brother Andrew? No, it's a process. It's something that I'm born today and all of a sudden I'm just 100% free and everything is just wonderful. It might feel that way day one. It might feel that way month one. It might feel that way year one. But I'm telling you, they're still in a battle and you're going to need a refilling and you're going to need another refilling and you need a good God to come by your way again. Why? Because we're still in an unredeemed flesh. Amen. And you need to recognize that a Holy Ghost filled believer can go totally insane.
Yeah.
The prophet said it. And he was Holy Ghost filled and tried to commit suicide. That's the kind of man that he was. Why? Because with our spirits we can become that way. So don't be torn down and because I'm going what I'm going through this, therefore I'm not born again. No, God birthed you and he cannot take that back. Amen. Once you're born, you're once born. And you get many refillings of that Holy Ghost to clean you, to wash you, to clean out the channels and the flues. Oh, hallelujah. The modern church, he says, has struck short of it, though. He says, we got a church, we got a good teacher, we got theology. He says, but that is about as much as you got, but every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Amen. A real Holy Ghost believer doesn't stop short of it. He realizes every chapter, every verse, and every line. God sent the baptism of the Holy Ghost to put into the hands of the church the arrow of God's deliverance to deliver from sickness, from sin, from worry. Whoo. He can deliver you from worry. The Bible says take care for nothing. In other words, don't be worried about anything. He can so deliver you from worry and allow you to have your sleep again. Allow you, because he giveth his beloved rest. Allow you to recognize that I'm able to sleep when it doesn't matter how much the devil's fighting me and how much he's trying to torment me. I'm able to give it to God and apply the blood of Jesus Christ over my life and I'm able to recover and sleep. Oh my, I don't know who needed that, but that was free. Amen. The arrow of God's deliverance to deliver us from trouble, from worldliness, from everything else. Don't strike short. You say, well, if I went to my church and they told me I oughtn't to have gone up to that church. So now I'm all confused. They told me that this is okay and that's okay. I'm all confused about whether or not I have the Holy Ghost now. Oh, Lord. He says, the promise is yours. It's to you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Oh, hallelujah. He says, what is it? Speak the word. God said so. Go forward and watch the enemy scatter. Satan is so terrified of you.
Amen.
Lived voices we had this morning. That's the thunder that shakes the enemy.
Amen.
Satan is so terrified of your life. He's so terrified of your testimony. He's so terrified of you that all he tries to do is he's got a whole bunch of scarecrows. He's got a whole bunch of them that they're all set up everywhere, trying to make you not take a step. That's exactly what he did to the chosen of Israel. He didn't realize Satan forgot it was the pillar of fire that led them to that place. Think about that for a minute. God led them to a Red Sea, a mountain, and Egyptians. That is where God's leadership put them. So don't be discouraged when you feel led of the Lord and you find yourself in an impossible situation. Because God will lead you to impossible situations just so he can show you that he is in control. That he is more than able to deliver you from no matter what would come your way. He is able to bring you through the Red Sea again. And Satan would put up all the devils and all the demons and all the things to say, you can't go this way. Just take a step and they move back. Take another step and they move back. They're terrified of you. Hallelujah. You're the thunder that shakes the enemy. He says, watch. He says, speak and go forward. Speak the word of God. Watch the enemy scatter. Watch the Red Sea open. He says, have a conference with God. Go forward. Sure, it'll open. God is the way of escape. He made a way right straight to the promised land. Anything that got in his way, he moved it out of the way. That whosoever would say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt in your heart. You will have whatsoever you ask. Hallelujah. God told me to go that way, and I don't feel like going over a mountain. So mountain, be moved. Andrew, that seems really simple. It's that simple. He says, look, talk it over with God. If anything gets in your way, then just have a conference with God. Talk it over with him and go on. That's what God is saying to Isaiah. Oh, you're sinful. Your sins were like scarlet. But come, let us reason together. Why not come and talk it over with me? My grace is sufficient for you. He says, but what's the problem? We stop short. A conference is two-sided.
Yes, it is.
Minimum. You ever had a conference call with yourself? It's just called a mirror. And no one on the other end. You never done that? Take up the selfie mode? My hair's in the right place. I got you back now. All right. Conference takes more than one party. In other words, you got to talk to God. Or give him an opportunity to talk to you. Give him an opportunity to move in your life. Too many times we call a conference with God. We go, Lord, this is my problem. Thanks for listening. Click. We run up the other direction. Stay on the line and say, Lord, what do you have to say about it? Have a conference with him. Don't strike short. He says, oh, we go over to church and we join a church and we think that's all right, but that's not all right. Brother, don't strike short of nothing of God's blessings. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. Strike it. In other words, amen. Take God at his word. Strike that. If he's the same yesterday and forever, that means he's still the same today. Amen. If he did it for Brother Branham, if he did it for Paul, if he did it for Columba, if he did it for Martin, if he did it for Luther, he's still able to do it today. Amen. He says, listen, he says, don't be afraid. God said so. Oh, think of that for a moment. He says, another place, he says, that's what the problem with the church is. We're too afraid to use the power that God's given us. He says, don't be afraid. God said so. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Strike it. God said so. It's the arrow of deliverance. It's brought into the church tonight. But brother, so yet the arrow of deliverance is filled with mercy tonight, given to the church that we ought to do. What we ought to do is pick it up and strike for the glory of God. That's right. And every divine blessing and every promise is yours by faith if you'll receive it. Do you believe it?
Hallelujah.
Amen. I believe it in the light of God's word that God's promised here that he'd do a certain thing. Hallelujah. That you could take God at his word and strike it again back to Calvary. What's he saying? He's telling you God's got a great store. A variety store. It's got a great big sign on the front that says atonement. It's the atonement store. That everything in the atonement, Brother Branham says, is past tense. In other words, it's already paid for. You can go into the store and you're going to find no price tags. There ain't no, you don't go in there, I need some peace. And oh, $9.99. It's too much. I need some food stamps. Sorry, that's too soon. Apologize. But the atonement store don't work like that. He's already paid for it. He's already paid for your peace. He's already paid for your joy. He's already paid for your love. He's already paid for your loved ones. Amen. He's already said you believe and thy house shall be saved. Amen. He's already paid the price for that. Amen. We are not Catholics to look at, I need to do penance and I need to scrub the floor and do this and do that to try and get my loved ones in. Just believe and take God at his word. Have respects to the word. The best thing you can do to have respects to God's word is take him at his word and believe it with all of your heart. God promised to do it. He will do it. He said, you take a little petty decision whether I'll serve him or not. He says, sinner friend, how could you, how would your decision be tonight? He says, God knocking at your heart when such a decision was made for you. He says, what's your answer to his ply? Come unto me, he says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What would be your reply to that decision? What would you do with it? What would be your reply? God is holding a conference with you right now. What about you if you're sick, or you woman if you're sick? God is holding a conference with you right now. That's what he's doing right now. Not just in 1959 and 1963 when I'm reading these quotes, but God's here right now by the ministering of the word, holding a conference with you saying, I've given you the arrow of deliverance. What are you going to do with it? Amen. I've given you the ability when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior. That was the shooting of the arrow out the window to say, I'm going in this direction. God will bring it to its intended target, to an expected end. But now what am I going to do with the rest of these arrows of God's deliverance? Will I strike the ground again and again and again for everything that I have need of? Or am I going to stop short and be a halfway Christian? He says, will you believe my word? Will you receive it? Will you see me in power and action? You hear me speaking through these mortal lips of men and women that surrendered their lives to me. And I promise when I ascend it on high that I would give gifts unto man. He promised it. You see, my word is fulfilled. If I keep it, I keep all of my word. Amen. If I keep that one promise that I give gifts unto man, and God gave you a prophet, God gave you pastors, God gave you evangelists, God gave you preachers, God gave you teachers. If he kept that, he's going to keep all of his promises. Hallelujah. God is holding a conference right now, though he's holding it with you. You got to make a decision. God's waiting for your reply. Will you serve the Lord? Do you want the Holy Ghost? Or are you going to say, no, I don't want it. Oh my, I'll take a little bit, but I don't want to go that far. I don't want to give it all up. Or will you say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender my all. Hallelujah. He says, I believe the Lord's healed me. God is waiting to hear what your decision is. You're the one that has to make it. He's done made this. He's proved that he's made this. And now you got to make yours. I got to make mine. This church has got to make it. We've all got to make our decision. What will you do with it? This is what the prophets say about him. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt, but believe it, it'll come to pass. When you know it's the word of the Lord speaking. He says, that's why I want to say, he's talking to a woman with a big tumor in front of him. He says, I want to say to this woman with the big tumor, to the lady here with cancer tonight. He says, the different ones. Because first off, it's a vision. And the vision compares with the word. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's the vision. See what it happens. It's when it happens, though, it's thus saith the Lord. He says, see, when I see a vision and I see a vision of someone being healed, he says, but when it happens, now that vision now is thus saith the Lord. Amen. He says, I could dream a dream and it be wrong and this be wrong and that be wrong. He says, but I got to be certain. And when it happens, then we know it's thus saith the Lord. He says, see, he says, nothing can stop it then. He says, see, it had been a long time since Elijah made the prophecy. We spoke on it this morning, how Elijah made the prophecy that the dogs would lick Ahab's blood. It had been a long time since then, but it took a Micaiah to come out and then finally speak the word of God again. And we know that Elijah was in glory then, but he'd made the prophecy and God's word would not return unto him void. And he knew it would come to pass. And Micaiah knew that Elijah was a man of God and he had respects to it. And he was God up in heaven holding a council up there how to bring the word of Elijah to pass. I want you to think on this for a moment. We just talked about you need to make a decision for God. But it's not just about getting the Holy Ghost. I don't want to try and just tonight get everyone that's been born again again. All right? You've already been born again, but now let's go beyond that. Amen. Let's go beyond just a new birth. We preached about this morning, you becoming the Word made flesh for this day. But beyond that now, he says, now if you're the Word made flesh, if you're living it, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to speak the Word again? Because you need to speak. There needs to be a voice. Amen. To the Word. Hallelujah. Micaiah knew that Elijah was a man of God, but God was up there in heaven holding a council. How could I bring the word of Elijah to pass? And we find that there come a lying spirit up before God that said, I could do that. Let me get in these 400 prophets and I'll get a lying spirit to get in the 400 prophets and convince Ahab to go up and it'll happen. God was holding a conference. He says, and if you have got the word of the Lord, amen. If you've received and you believe, you're feeding on and you've got the word in you. He says, and you will speak the word of the Lord. And don't doubt the word of the Lord. Then God will hold a council meeting to make your word come to pass. Whew. It's 1961, Micaiah the prophet, April 26th. Think about that for a minute. What will you do with the word you've received? What will you do with the arrow of God's deliverance? Because he's waiting for someone to have enough faith in his word to put it back on their lips. So that he will hold a council in heaven with all of the angels. How do I bring the word of Andy Schuller to pass? All of heaven is moving behind you. Because you spoke not your word. He says that. He says, because it's not your word. It's his word. It's his word. And if it's thus saith the Lord, if it's truly thus saith the Lord, he will bring it to pass. Let me say this. Don't be afraid. That's the scarecrow of the devil. To try and stand there. And you know you got a thought that comes and says, I should say it. I should speak the word. But what comes right behind that thought? You've all been privy to this. Satan comes behind and says, it won't happen. You don't really believe that. Don't you get emotional now. Oh, they'll really think you're strange when that happens. No. That's the devil trying to scare you from taking a step. But when you take that step forward and say, no, I believe by his stripes I'm healed. Watch the devil move back. And you take another step forward and recognize he's the same yesterday and forever. Watch the devil move back. And you take another step forward and put the word of God on your lips and you begin to speak the word and recognize, Lord, I know that you, the thoughts that you think towards me are good thoughts. You are going to bring me to an expected end. Hallelujah. That I can no more die than God can die. Because the life that's in me is not human life. The life that's in me is Zoe. It is God's own eternal life. And whether this body would pass away means literally nothing. Don't be afraid. Let me say it this way too. You may have been prayed for before. This is a big discouragement among a lot of people. I got prayed for and it didn't happen. Believe. Put the word of God back on your lips. Amen. Don't lose faith now. God doesn't take things back. God is not an Indian giver. It's Sometimes we look at it and we say, I got prayed for and it didn't happen, so I must have lost faith, therefore that's done. It's too late now. That ship sailed. Oh no, God's a God of grace. He is long-suffering. Slow to anger. And He wants you to get it. If the ship done sailed, He'll bring the ship back around again. Recognize, hey, we're missing one crew. He was going through the passenger list and realizing someone didn't get on the ship. We got to go back. Because I won't lose one. Don't lose faith. Strike it again. Strike it again. Because the Bible says that you should call for the elders of the church. They should anoint you with oil. And they should pray the prayer of faith. And that prayer should save the sick. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven them. Strike it again. Oh, hallelujah. That you would lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. Strike it again. That the chastisement of your peace is upon him. Strike it again. Don't let the devil try and take that away from you. Don't stop because you got discouraged. Don't stop because you're doing okay just now. Don't get complacent. Strike the arrows of God's deliverance again. When you recognize the realities of God are so much greater and so much more real than all the arguments of the devil. That's what Abraham did. Abraham looked at things that were not seen. And he called them real. They were more real than the things that were seen. But you could look at it and go, well, listen, Sarah, your womb's dried up. You can't even breastfeed a child anymore. It's impossible for you to even conceive seed. This is just impossible. Abraham, it's impossible for you too. You're 99 years old. It's done, gone. The ship has sailed. He said, no. The reality of God's promise is greater than all these other arguments. And it doesn't matter what the doctors say, how impossible it is for you to get well again. The promise that God said is already done. So why don't you join me tonight and go in the atonement store and get what you have need of. You might even feel tonight, I can't live up to this morning's message, Brother Andrew. I can't be the Word made flesh. How can I? Just keep striking. You have, by your decision to serve God, shot out the arrow. And now just keep taking God at His word and believing. Let God have His way. Let the word wash out all the unbelief and the weights, as the scripture says, that would so easily beset us. What does the scripture say? Work really hard to take them off. No, it says just put them aside. Just stop carrying that burden. Just lay it aside. Focus back on Christ. You love the Lord tonight? Let's stand to our feet. Take God at His word. Have respects to Him. His word, His spirit. He'll have respects to you. Isn't it awesome to serve a real God? Amen. Do we know that song? My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Why don't we sing that together? He can move the mountains. He can keep me in the valley. He can hide me from the rain. He knows what I have need of. When I think I got need of this over here, He knows that this is what I really need. We just need to have more confidence and trust in the Lord. Amen. He'll make the way. Amen. My God is awesome. He can move the mountain. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength when I've been weakened. Forever to live. My God is awesome. Oh, awesome. He's awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, hear me.
giver of salvation, by His side.